If you would take your Bibles this morning and go to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. It's a rare opportunity to be able to candidate at a church on a Mother's Day weekend. But it's actually the best time to be here because no one ever says anything bad about mothers. And so this is just a great day to honor moms and to reflect on the nature of their investment in our lives. My mom, if she had been here this morning, and this were years ago, she could have won several of those awards. I was in the ER quite often with stitches and many different occasions where I've got to tell you one story. If those that are watching live stream and then here this morning. My mom is from Iowa. She's from central Iowa. And she came here to the Washington, D.C. area to work for a gentleman that she'd met in Scroon Lake, New York. Many years ago, she transferred, if you can imagine, from a little town called Four City, Iowa, and came to live in Washington, D.C. Mom and Dad joined, of course, Fairfax Baptist Temple early on, and were apart from really the first services here. And my brother and I had gone out to Iowa ahead of my parents coming to Iowa for vacation. On a Sunday afternoon there in Four City, Iowa, I was out playing with my uncle and aunt's dog. And it's a little small dog, but I was a young boy, and the dog jumped up on me. And when it did, I had bent over. And when it jumped up on me to be petted and so forth, it actually caught me in the face. And so the claws of that dog caught me on the side of my face, caught me underneath of my nose, and caused several open wounds. So they rushed me to the hospital. This was Sunday afternoon. My mom and dad were in choir practice. And they tracked down the church phone number and everything like this, and they called and they said, "Margaret, your son is in the ER and he's getting ready to be stitched up." And so I can remember laying there on the bed and the doctor getting ready to stitch me up. And I remember the bright lights and I said, "Mom, I'm going to be okay." And she's so distant. They're coming out the next weekend, of course, to see us there. And I made it through that. I got stitched up, several stitches there, and made it through that. This is great. The next Sunday, I was scheduled to get my stitches out. And myself and my cousins, we were out playing a game called Hot Box or Pickle. It's something you play with baseball gloves and baseballs. And we're playing back and forth, and I was a runner. And my cousin thought it would be funny to take the baseball and fake a throw. And so he faked the throw, put the ball back in his glove, and turned to tag me. Well, when he turned to tag me, he didn't look. He just whipped his ball glove around, and you know where he tagged me? Right in the face. Ripped the stitches out. They took me back to the ER. Sunday afternoon, you know where my mom and dad were? In choir practice. "Margaret, your son's back in the ER. And we're taking out his stitches again." So that kind of story is a familiar refrain for us. So I don't know where they came up with the idea to recognize the mother that's had the young person in the ER, but that was pretty humorous to me, because I know my mother's received that phone call many times. "Your son is in the ER." All right. All shenanigans aside, right? 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. The Bible says in verse number 8, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Let's ask God's blessings upon this message this morning. Father in heaven, we're indeed grateful to gather around your word, the unchanging word of God. In an ever-changing world, we can find help and strength in time of need. Thank you for these dear folks that have invested themselves here on the first day of the week, that we might gather with one another and encourage one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. I pray, Lord, that you'd be honored in our time together this morning. I pray that I would declare the word of God with great fervency and power, but that it would not be in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I pray, Lord, for this vital ministry and the direction that you have for it in the days ahead. I do pray that you would guide and direct in every decision that's made and everything that is shared. We pray for everything that is involved with this great task of reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you'd be honored this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. On Mother's Day, we reflect on so many of the great things that we've heard from our mothers through the years and the advice that they have given to us. Mothers are the most special women in the world. The relationship between a mother and her children is the best one in the entire universe. She's the one responsible for your existence. A mother always acts as a protective shield for her kids and is ready to bear all the hardships in the world on behalf of her kids. Your mother is your first teacher. She is the one from whom you learn the art of living. Ages have passed, but nothing has ever been able to change the love that a mother has for her children and vice versa. The unconditional love and warmth that a mother gives to her children is surely worthy of appreciation from them. For this reason, Mother's Day is celebrated across the world every year to provide children with a day to honor and to thank their mothers. More than the thought of a day being dedicated to her, it is the effort and love of the children that makes Mother's Day special for a mom. And I reflect on all the advice that my mother gave me growing up, and maybe you've even heard some of these things as well. These are some famous mother sayings that I think are in the manual from the time that they bring us home from the hospital. If I talk to my mother like that, like you talk to me, well, what if everyone else jumped off a cliff? Would you do it too? You have enough dirt behind those ears to grow potatoes. It doesn't matter what you accomplish, I'll always be proud of you. Because I'm your mother, that's why. If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. If you fall out of that tree and break your leg, don't come running to me. No dessert till you clean off your plate. Just wait till your father gets back home. Wait until you have kids of your own, then you'll understand. Bored? How can you be bored? I was never bored at your age. Watch your language, or I'll wash out your mouth with soap. I spend all day over a hot stove, and this is the thanks I get. It hurts me more than it hurts you. My, did I hear that a lot. I don't know is not an answer. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt. Eat your dinner. There are children hungry in Africa. Don't chew with your mouth open. I'm not everyone else's mother. I'm your mother. Don't use that tone with me. As long as you live under my roof, you'll listen to my rules. What do I look like? Your maid? Are you going out dressed like that? Don't sit too close to the TV. You'll ruin your eyes. Someday you'll thank me for this. I carried you for 9 months. Let me talk to your dad about your behavior. And probably my favorite, get that thing out of your nose. Elijah is a prophet here in 1 Kings chapter number 17, prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel. As he is working on God's behalf there in the kingdom, God is going to send a drought to the nation of Israel, and Ahab has begun to worship Baal, the king Ahab, and so God has brought this drought upon the land, and Elijah has prophesied that it would not rain again until he actually spoke the words from Almighty God for it to rain. In the midst of the drought, God sent Elijah to a brook to be fed and to use those waters of the brook. Well, now the brook is dried up and he seeks God's counsel as to where to go next. And God meets the need for Elijah in the midst of the drought from a very unlikely, special woman. And I want to look at this lady this morning and consider her life and consider the applications that you and I can find from such a special individual. God is going to use this very special woman to minister to the needs of the prophet Elijah. And I believe in this woman that there is a tremendous example for all of us this morning. Would you notice with me, first of all, the unlikely source? The unlikely source. Verse number 8, the Bible says in chapter number 17, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." This was an unlikely source to find sustenance in the nature of the time in which Elijah has been living. Imagine with me, if you would, the nature of the drought. Imagine what it must have been like for Elijah to be sent to this brook and to be fed there by the ravens. Imagine as that brook begins to dry up. And now he turns his attention to the next step that God would have for him in his life. And no doubt in his mind, it's probably running here, there, and everywhere about how God will meet the need. He's actually watched the miraculous in the nature of this brook. He's watched the miraculous in the nature of the birds that came there to feed him. But what's the next step? Potentially there's someone out there that has a vast resource available to them. And now that I've spent so much time by the brook being fed by the birds, no doubt I'll be taken to some place of, well, it's a little bit more luxury, more sustenance, more provision. And so the Bible says the word of the Lord comes to him and he says, "I want you to go to this widow woman." Oh, well, if it's a widow woman, no doubt it was a husband that left her a vast farm to care for. No doubt it was someone that passed away with a large life insurance policy. No doubt this is someone that has great sustenance in the world. And so this is going to work out wonderfully well. This widow woman will surely make provision for me during this time. We find here in verses 8 and 9 that this is an unlikely source. And you say to me this morning, why was it an unlikely source? Well, this lady was living in a despised homeland. She was, number one, living in a despised homeland. The homeland in which we're referring to is the nature of Zarephath. And we know a familiar person that was from this same area. It was the homeland of a lady you might have heard of. Her name was Jezebel. And so Elijah is going to be taken to the homeland of the queen that is most out to get him and to destroy his life. Jezebel is on the war path against Elijah. Jezebel wants to do all she can to put the men of God to death. And yet God is going to send Elijah to this despised homeland. This is the place of Jezebel. But it was not only an unlikely source because of the despised homeland. Notice number two, it's an unlikely source because of the deceased husband. The Bible tells us there in verse number 10 that he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." She's living in a despised homeland. She has a deceased husband. She says, okay, what's the next step for me? What is the next place that I'm going to go and find resources? The famine has hit us hard. Where am I going to go and find sustenance for this day? And of all things, I have no husband that can help to care for me and to provide for me in this difficult time. We've watched the nature of numerous individuals in our midst there in our church in Tennessee that have actually been widowed. And I tell you what, it's very difficult to watch that path all transpire. And individuals that we've been very close to have had husbands that have contracted cancer, and one specific, very special lady in our church, her husband, faithful individual in our church, and it was diagnosed that he was dealing with an internal cancer, and we walked through that process, and the course for them took about a year. And so we watched then after that path of cancer and the prospect of his home going to be with the Lord, and as all of that plays out, we're there with them each step of the way and praying with them and praying for them. And now we kind of watch the aftermath of seeing what transpires when that husband is taken home prematurely. And we'll get a phone call that says, "Hey, Pastor, the roof on my house is leaking. Is there any way that you'd have a couple of men that could help us out with that kind of a situation? We're not quite sure what has to be done. We've done what we can to this point to try to keep the water out, but if you could send in some individuals, that would be a help." This is an unlikely source in the days of famine. She's living in a despised homeland because it's the home of Jezebel. She has a deceased husband, and then notice number three, she has a depleted household. When you look at her life and she says, "Listen, I'm gathering up these last few sticks." This is not a cupboards full type individual. This is not a person that has vast resources and stockpiles from Sam's and the wholesale club. This is an individual that's going out and contemplating what it's going to be like to be able to partake of this final meal. And she's collecting up these sticks and she says to herself, "Listen, this is in all likelihood the end of the line for our lives." And right in the midst of that, as an unlikely source, Elijah is sent right into the heart of this. From the brook and the birds, Elijah arrives on scene there, and he says to this lady collecting up sticks, "Would you be willing to prepare a meal?" Number one, she's an unlikely source. Unlikely because of the despised homeland. Unlikely because of the deceased husband. Unlikely because of the depleted household. And I wonder this morning if there aren't ladies that would find themselves in some of these types of situations. You say, "Well, my circumstances are not ideal, Pastor. My circumstances and oversight of my children are not ideal." It may be that your background is something that you have seen as a negative in your life. And you say, "Really, I'm from a despised location." Or maybe, as I've already mentioned, and I know you're well aware of from different individuals that have faced this same thing, maybe it's a matter that God has already called your husband home. And maybe you're looking around and you're thinking to yourself, "You know, I really don't have that many resources available. I can't do as much as what I once did or what I would like to do." And so when the call of God comes on your life and you're looking around and you're thinking to yourself, what part can I play? What act can I participate in it? How could God use my life? You're thinking of yourself as really an unlikely source. No doubt this woman, this widow woman, would have thought herself the last person in the world that God would send His man to. And yet, as we're going to see in just a few moments, this unlikely source was going to be greatly used of Almighty God. The unlikely source. Number two, notice with me, the unlikely service. Verse number 11. "And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die.' And Elijah said unto her, 'Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son.'" Now, when you first read that verse, doesn't it seem a little bit troubling? How in the world could Elijah be so selfish? How could he look into this woman's eyes who's lost her husband, who's in these circumstances? How could he look into her eyes, recognizing that she's collecting up sticks and she's going to prepare this meal? How could he look into her eyes and say, hey, that's great that you're going to prepare that meal, but before you prepare it, would you make me a portion first and foremost? And I want you to see her response. As we consider this unlikely service, the Bible says in verse number 15, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Now, there's some things in this world that I absolutely love when it comes to food. Oh, my goodness. When you sit down at certain types of meals and it is a food that you really love. One time of the year, they have Shrimp Fest at Red Lobster. I love shrimp. They've even thought of ways to make it better, and then they come up with a Cajun shrimp pasta. That's some good stuff. Steak. I love steak. One of my favorite things about Sundays growing up, we'd go over here into Fairfax, into the apartment buildings there where my grandmother and grandfather lived. Just about every Sunday afternoon for lunch, we had Sunday noon meal with my grandmother. And she fixed roasts and potatoes and carrots, not in the crock pot, kind of how we do today, but in the oven and the old pan and so forth. Then she'd fix some gravy. When the roast beef was gone, when the potatoes were gone, when the carrots were gone, there was still plenty of gravy. What are you going to do with all that gravy? That's why God invented loaves of bread. Now listen, folks, don't get in the way of me and Shrimp Fest at Red Lobster. That's just not a good idea. Don't get in the way of me and the pot roast out of the oven with the potatoes and the carrots and the rolls and the gravy. Don't get in the way. But certainly, do not sit there and ask me to send the boat of gravy to you when there's only a little bit left to cover my piece of bread. Don't ask me to send that gravy to you. Don't ask me to give you the last bit of shrimp scampi. Don't ask, because I'm going to tell you, I don't think so. This is a much more serious situation. She has all the items necessary. Again, if you think about this for a moment, she has all the items necessary to prepare herself a meal for her and her son. And you can only imagine what she's thinking as she sees the man of God. And the man of God says, prepare me the food first, then fix something for your son and yourself. Can you imagine what's running through her mind? Can you imagine that she's thinking, what are you asking me for an offering for? Why are you asking this of me? Why don't you provide something for me? Look at this plight. Look at all that we're going through. And by the way, have we forgotten this is all because of the word of your mouth? That this drought has been brought upon us. Of course, Almighty God directed him. But you can imagine what's running through her mind. In this verse, here in verse number 15, number one, we recognize that in this unlikely service, she had to deny her flesh. Her flesh is telling her, I must fix this meal for myself and my son. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what next week holds. We don't know what next month holds. But if we're going to eat, we've got something today. And yet Elijah comes to her in this unlikely source. She provides unlikely service. And listen to me, my friend. She denies her flesh that she might be pleasing to Almighty God. That one statement right there crosses so many levels of motherhood in society today. Because there is so much of what the world is saying about mothers and what a successful mother is and what she accomplishes in the life of her husband and the life of her children. And so often what is done in the home is downplayed and criticized when mothers actually have their hand upon the cradle and really control so much of the future of leadership in churches and countries around the globe. So, my friend, think with me for a moment about the areas in which you're called upon to deny your flesh of some things that you might be a servant of Almighty God. Moms make great sacrifices. I personally witnessed the sacrifices that my mother made. I saw firsthand what those sacrifices were that she might assist my dad in having us in a Christian education. Now, I know this is going to sound kooky to you, but my mother actually was heavily involved in our paper routes on Sunday mornings. You may have heard of a paper called the Washington Post. And on Sundays, it's a very thick paper, or it was years ago. Well, my mom, every single Sunday morning, knowing that we had about 300 paper customers, my mom, every single Sunday morning, as my brother was off in school, and then I went off to school, my mom made great sacrifices. 5:30 on a Sunday morning, my mom puts on her paper route clothes. That's what we called them. They stayed in a room to themselves because they had a unique ink smell. And my mom would get up with us at 5:30 in the morning every single Sunday that she could go with us, that we'd earn funds so that we could graduate from college and have a Christian education. You see, that was not in my mom's fleshly desires. She never thought to herself, you know, this would be a great idea. This would be a great way for me to have fellowship with my boys and fellowship with my husband. This is a good idea. Actually, it was contrary to her flesh, but she was willing to do it. She was willing to make some sacrifices for us. We've watched this time and again in our lives. My wife's mom has made many sacrifices. My wife's parents are in the ministry. My wife's dad has been a pastor for probably 40 years or more. And serving the Lord. And so she's watched her mom make all kinds of sacrifices as her husband has been in the ministry, making sacrifices for the three girls and their family. We've watched this over and over again. I recall back to my grandmother. My grandmother dealt with my grandfather who dealt with Alzheimer's. And into my grandmother's 80s, she was still going to work every day to help provide and make it possible for my granddad to be able to stay home. Mrs. Carr used to come take care of my granddad every day. So I have watched this kind of thing play out. I have seen this and the impact that it makes upon children and generations to come. Moms, do not miss out on the opportunity to please God when you deny your flesh. Mothers, think of the sacrifices that you can make for your children to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Mothers, think of the opportunity to have your sons and your daughters called by God to deliver the gospel message to some place around the world. Think of how special it is to have a young person be called into the ministry, to be serving in lay leadership, to be giving yourself in a local New Testament church. Never think that by having your son or your daughter give their lives for Almighty God in some significant way is taking a back seat to what the world has for them and what the world has to offer. But if this was all going to transpire in this woman's life, she was going to have to deny her flesh. Number two, in this unlikely service, she not only denied her flesh, but number two, she displayed her great faith. She displayed great faith. Again, read verse number 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She not only denied her flesh, but she displayed great faith. My friend, this morning, I cannot say for sure that I'd have this kind of faith. I'm looking down at the sticks. I'm looking down at the thought of this last meal. And I'm thinking to myself, God, why did you send your prophet to me? I mean, I don't have anything to sustain him, much less to take care of myself and my boy. And as she gathered those sticks and starts that fire and begins to work to prepare that meal, I can only imagine what it was like in her thinking, and the flesh is working against her, and the flesh is telling her this is a bad idea. The devil will be filling her mind with all different kinds of thoughts. And yet in this process, she displays great faith. To me, this is my last meal with my boy. But if God wants it to be given to Elijah, then I'm going to trust Almighty God. And oh, what it would be for moms across this audience that would say, I don't know how God's going to use my young person, but I'm going to give him to the Lord. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to deny my flesh in what this may mean, and I'm going to display great faith. If you go to the New Testament, you read a couple of passages much like this. In Luke chapter number 4, the Bible says, and he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. She displayed great faith. In that moment, she puts her faith in Almighty God. She puts her faith in the man of God. And now we travel all the way forward to the New Testament and the Gospels. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself is reflecting on the greatness of this woman's faith. She was an unlikely source. She provided unlikely service. And then number 3, notice with me the unlikely salvation. Look at verses 15 and following. The Bible says, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard of the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. An unlikely source in the midst of famine. It's unlikely service in the nature of the day and the denial of the flesh and the displaying of great faith. But here is, my friend, unlikely salvation. Number 1, she had trusted God for her physical life. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. According to the word of the Lord, the Bible says, the food never ran out. Her physical life was spared through the harsh famine. Her physical life was dramatically affected because of her faith. Imagine that she went from picking up sticks and thinking this is the last meal that I'll have to now the cruse of oil never fails, and now she has every single need met from a physical standpoint. But it wasn't just a physical transformation that took place. It was a spiritual transformation. And notice what she says again there. It was not only physical life, it was also eternal life. Verse number 24. Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. Mothers, individuals all over this auditorium, you and I so often think that the most important thing is our physical sustenance. Nothing could be further from the truth. Mom, this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that Jesus died for you. It may be that your son or daughter has invited you to services this morning. You had no intentions of really being a participant in any kind of a service. But this morning, I'm saying to you that there's something more important than physical sustenance, and it's Bible salvation. Bible salvation is not earned. Bible salvation cannot be purchased. Bible salvation does not come from the baptismal waters. Bible salvation for every man, woman, and child comes through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not know Christ this morning, no matter how great of a mom you are, no matter how many children you've had, no matter how far they've ascended in life, if you die in your sins without the Lord Jesus Christ, Mom, the Bible says you'll spend an eternity apart from Almighty God. The best decision that you could make on this Mother's Day is to trust the eternal life that is found solely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today's the day, Mom, for you to get saved. Can I speak further to those that may be here this morning on behalf of their mom? If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what's keeping you from getting saved? You say, well, I've got all my material possessions. I've got all that this world has to offer. I've been blessed. I've got the proverbial stuff. But you don't have Bible salvation. And it may be that your mom invited you here this morning that you might hear of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that you might repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ alone today. What a mother's gift. For you to go to your mom and say, Mom, today's the day that I need to get saved. You see, we can read this story and we can think to ourselves, oh, it's so wonderful that she got what was needed for the immediate moment. But I believe she got far more than that. I believe she got eternal life. As you and I read stories just like this in the Old Testament, these individuals displayed great faith. They might have seemed at the time like an unlikely source for God to work. But they gave unlikely service. She denied her flesh. She was willing to display great faith. And all across this auditorium, I believe, in 2016, God is looking for some women that would have the same kind of character as this woman of Zarephath. That He could look down to you this morning and see you as a vessel that He will work through in the lives of your children, in the lives of your grandchildren. That God will use you in a mighty way in the nurseries and in the children's classes and in the vacation Bible schools. That you come alongside of some other moms that are struggling as they have newborns and you just say, hey, let me help you out. In so many of those cases, you're going to have to deny what your flesh would otherwise say. And give yourself as an investment in the lives of others. Can I speak for just a moment? It may be that to this point, God has not brought into your home a child. And for some, that's a difficult matter. But I tell you what, I have one physical, biological mother, but I've got a lot of moms that invested in my life. Some of them are sitting right here in the midst of this auditorium. And they gave of themselves and their energies when they served in the nursery that my mom might be involved in ministry in one way or another. I sent an email to a dear friend of mine this morning. His son served in the Marine Corps and was a drill instructor at Parris Island. She has three sons. Two of them are independent Baptist preachers, and one of them was in the Marine Corps. And when he graduated from DI school there on Paris Island, I went down for his graduation. And I watch as these three boys, she has a big bumper sticker on her car, and it says, "My two sons are independent Baptist preachers." She had it specially made. You don't buy that at Walmart. And then she had the other one, said, "My son's a Marine." And so really, that two-pronged attack for this dear lady in our life, that two-pronged attack, two sons serving in the pastorate, one son in the Marine Corps. And from our times of interactions, I sent her a note this morning, and I said, "I'm thankful for all four of your boys." Well, she's only got three. But you know what? In many ways, she adopted me like a fourth. And a very, very dear lady. And I'm saying to you this morning as a challenge, wherever you may be in this stage of life, God can use you like this woman of Zarephath. You might be thinking to yourself, "I'm an unlikely source. I mean, there's a thousand others that God will use. I've got all this in my background. I've got all these things in my history. I'm an unlikely source." But God can use your life. If you'll provide unlikely service, "Pastor, this morning I am willing to deny my flesh and to display faith in Almighty God." And what a testament of salvation. All across this auditorium, the most important decision that can be made in this auditorium on any given service is for someone to be birthed into the family of God. And when it comes to salvation, you know what? All of us are an unlikely source. But the Bible says God loved us before we ever loved Him. The woman of Zarephath gives us a great example of a mother who stepped out on faith for her children. Think about this in two ways. The Bible tells us that this woman definitely had an impact on her own son, her children, her child. But the Bible also says she had an impact upon her city. Can you imagine what this woman was like from here forward whenever someone would ask about Jehovah? This woman testified of the greatness of her God. And moms all across this audience, would you hear me this morning? America stands in great need of moms that will testify of the greatness of their God. Let's pray.